Okay, let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we do have concern and care and love for our brothers and sisters, and we pray for Jessica. We ask your healing hand to be upon her and your protection, Father. She's in a totally different environment where she's being exposed to germs and bugs that she doesn't have natural immunity to here. And we just pray your protection for her. Pray for her also as she's working on this bridge, that she would be safe, that she would have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of this. We just commit her to you, Father. We pray for Edward and Micah. We miss them dearly since they have not been coming to our church. I just pray, Father, that you will draw them close to yourself, that they would make it a commitment when they get moved that they're going to get back into church. Father, others, Rudy is sick this morning. Others, wherever they are, Father, I pray your grace and courage and comfort for each one. Thank you now for your word, Father. Minister to us, speak to us through your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you have not already, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I encourage you to follow along with me. Back in 1st of January, I introduced to you our theme verse for the year. We do that every year, a kind of a theme verse to focus on. And we haven't been focused on it much because of the study in Galatians. But our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Therefore we beg on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God." That's our ministry. That's our message. Be reconciled to God. And what I'd like to do is talk about that concept today, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And we're going to be looking at this passage. We're going to go back earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then we're going to go through verse 20 and on into 2 Corinthians chapter 6 a little bit. Because I believe Paul is developing this concept of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He leads up to it in the verses coming up to verse 20, and then kind of, you know, continues after verse 20, and hopefully I can show that to you as we look at what makes a good ambassador. But before we get there, think with me, first of all, what is an ambassador? What does that mean? We're ambassadors for Christ, so what, Willa? Okay, we're representative. Terry, that's what you were saying? Okay. We're representatives of Christ. I thought, you know, just to make sure I'm tracking right, you know, look it up in Funkin' Wagnalls. Well, it was Merriam-Webster, actually. But an ambassador is a diplomatic agent, often of the highest rank, assigned to a foreign government as a resident representative of his or her own government. Okay? So it's somebody from point A who has been assigned to point B to live in country B and represent country A to the people of country B. Okay? He is a diplomatic agent. That sound impressive? That sound important? A diplomatic agent, often of the highest rank. When you're going to assign an ambassador to some country, you don't want to assign some idiot, okay, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, somebody who's going to embarrass you and your country. You're going to assign somebody important, especially if this is a country that you want to impress. Diplomatic agent, often of the highest rank, assigned to a foreign government as the resident representative of his or her own government. So it's somebody who is living in a place where they don't belong. Living in a place that is not their home. Representing to that place their true home where they really belong. Okay, now, how does that translate into our relationship here in the world? Well, maybe it's clear, but just in case it's not, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. used to sing a song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." We don't belong here. Maybe that's why it feels awkward being here. Maybe that's why it feels like we don't really fit in. We're not supposed to fit in. We belong someplace else. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, a holy kingdom. And if you haven't noticed, the world that we live in is neither heavenly nor holy. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. We are heaven's and Christ's chosen and assigned representatives to earth and mankind. I'll let that sink in. If I was to ask you, if I would have asked you 5 minutes ago, who are you? You know, and you give me your name. Yeah. No, but really, who are you? Oh, I'm just a... I'm just a teacher at a school. I'm just an engineer for Lockheed Martin. I'm just a retired person. I'm just a housewife. I just work at... You know what? The minute you say, I'm just a... You have just given yourself a demotion. You are not just anything. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ to your family. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ to your neighborhood. That job that you go to, that you dread getting up and going to every morning, that you were wishing the weekend would last and Monday morning would never come, how would it change your attitude toward that job if you get up tomorrow morning and you think, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ to that company? I am Christ's chosen and assigned representative, and you may be the only ambassador for Jesus Christ in that company. You may be the only ambassador of Jesus Christ in your neighborhood. That makes it pretty important how we represent Him. It makes it pretty important how we represent Him. So important that I believe Paul gives us numerous instructions in this passage, going back to chapter 5, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 5, 9. I believe Paul is giving us instructions that we can focus on this aspect of being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, ambassadors for a heavenly kingdom, ambassadors from heaven to earth. I believe we can draw pointers, instructions, guidelines for how to be good ambassadors. How to be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. Has anybody, I know I'm dating myself, anybody ever read the book, The Ugly American? The Ugly American. I don't remember a book that made me as angry as that book did. And part of what made me so angry about that book was the stupid ambassadors for the United States to other countries. They gave one example where we were sending grain, food, bags of wheat and stuff to, I think it was one of the Vietnams. And the ambassador there was there watching these bags being unloaded off of our ships. And the ambassador didn't know the language. He was dependent upon translators to tell him what was going on. And he saw some guy stamping things on the bags of wheat. He didn't know what he was stamping. He just thought there was some sort of inspection or something. You know what the guy was stamping? A gift of the people of the Soviet Union. On food that we were sending them. And because the guy didn't know the language, he had no idea what was being stamped on those bags of wheat. I wonder how many times we are an ambassador for Christ, like that ambassador. Not having a clue how to effectively represent our God to the world. Go back to chapter 5, verse 9 with me. Paul says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. When he talks about home and absent, he's talking about in this body. Right now, we're at home in this body. When we go to heaven, we're being absent from this body, unless we happen to make it till the rapture, and then we get our body with us. We take our body with us. But that's what he's talking about. So basically, Paul is saying, whether we're here on earth in this physical, mortal, decaying body, or whether we're gone to heaven, we have one goal. We have one ambition, and that is to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be pleasing to God. What if an ambassador is sent to a country and he thinks, man, I get a free vacation. I get to go live in France, for instance, and somebody else is paying for it, and I can go and just live it up. I can enjoy all that France has to offer, and I can... you know, great wine and all this stuff, and I can just live it up. Is that person going to be a good ambassador? No. The ambassador's concern should be how he represents the one who sent him. Our number one goal should be that we want to please Jesus Christ. That we want to please God. That should be our ambition. That should be the guiding principle for how we do business, family, recreation, vacation. The guiding principle for every area of our life, how we spend our money, how we use our free time. The guiding principle should be, I want to be pleasing to God. Because I'm His representative here on earth. And people are probably going to form an opinion of God based on what they think of me. Let me let that one sink in for a minute. People are probably going to form an opinion of your God based on what they think of you. If they think you are arrogant and judgmental, they're probably going to think God is arrogant and judgmental. If they think that you are hypocritical, they're going to think God is hypocritical. But if they believe that you are gracious and merciful and loving, then they're probably going to think God is gracious and merciful and loving. We're His representatives. And people will tend to form opinions of the God who sent us by the people they meet representing Him. That's us. Good ambassadors for Christ seek as their goal to please God, verse 10. Good ambassadors for Christ know that they are accountable to God. Verse 10. For we must all appear. Notice that word for. If you've never circled that before, this would be a good time to circle that. Why is it our ambition to be pleasing to God, verse 9? Because we're going to have to stand before Him, verse 10. We're going to be accountable. Jesus talked about to His disciples that we'll give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. Even little things like giving a cup of water in Jesus' name will not lose its reward. The details are important. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word is bema. Maybe you've heard of the bema seat. That's the place where believers are going to receive our rewards for what we've done. Not talking about doing works to earn salvation. It's talking about the fact that we as believers will earn rewards in heaven based on how we have served God since we became believers. If we have as our ambition to be pleasing to Him, verse 9, then verse 10, when we stand before Him at the bema seat, we're going to receive reward for what has been done because it's going to be good. We know we're accountable to God. Just as an ambassador, in a national ambassador, realizes if he represents his country poorly, then the president may call him back home and say, hey, you can't represent us anymore. He's accountable to the one who sent him. Beloved, we're accountable to God for how we live our lives. This isn't a threat of losing salvation, but God is not here physically present at this time. We are his representatives. We're his ambassadors. We are given the privilege of representing him to a world out there that needs desperately to know him. And we are for Jesus Christ to cause people to want to know the God we serve. 1 Peter 3 talks about that we ought to live our lives in such a way that people will come and ask us a reason for the hope that is in us. That's good ambassadorship. People will want to crave what they see in our lives when they see peace in the midst of all of the chaos and confusion and worry in the world around us. When they see harmony in our families and our relationships. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that they may be one, even as we are one, Father, that the world may believe that you sent me. How we represent Christ is hugely important. And that will be one of the things that God will use to draw people to himself, is our life, our ambassadorship, our representation. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each man may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. As a result of that, we should seek to please both God and men. Verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. We were made manifest to God. See, there's a dual focus. If you're an ambassador, you want to understand your own country really, really well so you can represent your country well, but you want to understand the country where you're serving in well also so that you can represent your country well to them. I've heard horror stories of ambassadors going into foreign countries and they don't understand the customs and they insult the people in their host country. Not their sending country, the host country, where they are. They insult those people because they haven't taken the time to learn the custom. Paul says, yeah, we're accountable to God. We seek to please God. But we're also seeking to persuade man. So there's got to be a dual focus. We're focusing on God because we're serving him. We're also focusing on the people around us because those are the people God has called us to witness to. Those are the people God has called us to represent him to. Several years ago, President Mubarak of Egypt, remember? President Mubarak of Egypt came to Washington for a fancy state dinner. And there was this big banquet hall, and it was all gorgeous and crystal and all of that stuff. And there was a, unfortunately, lower official who was announcing the guests as they arrived, who announced the president of Egypt, Mirabek, mispronounced his name, drastically mispronounced his name. Why would you allow something like that to happen? If you're in charge, aren't you going to make sure that the guy who's announcing people's names knows how to pronounce them? We have to have a dual focus. We represent God. We need to get to know him well so that we can represent him well. But we are also representing him to a particular culture, to a particular group of people where God has called us to live. And we want to try to represent him in a way that will be palatable, that will be reasonable to the people we're trying to witness to. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. We're made manifest to God. I hope we're made manifest in your consciences. We're not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer to those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. Paul had both audiences in focus all the time. Say, well, how do you do that? Well, I didn't say this was going to be easy. But we have to keep the dual responsibility that we're representing God and his kingdom and Jesus Christ to a certain culture and nation of people that God has called us to live in. And we have to understand both to be able to represent one to the other well. Part of the way that we do that is that we are motivated by the love of Christ. Verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Love of Christ controls us. And this is a construction in the Greek that is difficult to be dogmatic about. Okay? When it says the love of Christ controls us, does that mean Christ's love for us? Does that mean our love for Christ? The love for Christ? The love of Christ? Or does it mean Christ's love for the unsaved people? And guess what? The Greek doesn't resolve it. In context, it could be any one of those three. Our love for Christ, Christ's love for us, Christ's love for the unsaved. I think part of the reason why it's not conclusive is because all three are valid. We love Christ, and so we want to represent him well. But Christ died for those people, so we want to try to win them. And Christ loved us so much that we want to serve him faithfully. But being motivated by the love of Christ is going to change our attitude. It's going to change how we represent him to people. We're not going to be harsh, cold, judgmental, because God wasn't that way with us. God was patient and loving and gracious and kind to us. Titus chapter 3, it talks about that we can be patient with unsaved people, knowing that you too were once ignorant, unsaved. And it goes on and gives a whole list of adjectives of people there. When we remember what kind of people we were before God saved us, it helps us to be a little gentler with the people around us who aren't saved yet. That old saying there, before the grace of God go I? Ah, man, that's true. There before the grace of God go I. Motivated by the love of Christ, why do you do what you do? Because I have to. Have you ever been ministered to by somebody that had to? Man, I just assume they didn't. If they're doing it with a bad attitude, they're doing it with a grudging attitude, man, just forget it. Leave me alone. Don't go away. When somebody is serving me out of love, man, it makes a difference. And they're serving because they love me. And they're serving because they love God. And they're just delighted to have the opportunity to be his ambassador. What a difference. Good ambassador for Christ seeks to please God. They know that they are accountable to God. They seek to please both God and men. They're motivated by the love of Christ. Verse 15. The love of Christ controls us, verse 14, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, circle, I've got the word all twice in verse 14, again in verse 15, I've got those circled. He died for all so that, now listen to this, here's a purpose. Why did God save you and me? He died for all so that they who live, that's us, those who live by Christ, who've been born again, might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Jesus saved us to live for Him. He didn't save us to leave us still living for ourselves, selfish, self-centered, worldly lives. He saved us to redeem us out of that. He saved us that we might no longer live for ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, "For the time already past is long enough to serve the flesh." Before you got saved, you had plenty of time to live for the flesh. Now God has saved you, it's time to live for Him. Time to live for Him. Verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come." An ambassador for Christ, the first condition, the first prerequisite for it, is that you will become a new creature in Christ yourself first. Remember we talked last week? Paul said, Galatians chapter 6, "For neither circumcision matters anything, makes any difference, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." And I mentioned last week, when we came to this verse, those are the only two places in the whole Bible where the phrase new creation occurs. Galatians chapter 6 and this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The only two places. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Yeah, he's still working on me, that's true. But the change that he's already made in me is huge. The change he has already made in me is huge. Now, I hope you don't get tired of me saying things like this, but there are two different words for new in the Greek. One means new in the sense of not old, okay? If you used to have a 85 Buick and now you have a, 2008 Buick, you have a new Buick, okay? But you know what? It's still basically the same thing. But if instead of that 1985 Buick, you buy an all-electric, self-driven car, that's totally different. That's a new kind of vehicle. So there's new in the sense of time, but there's new in the sense of kind. That's the word that Paul used here both times. New kind. If anyone was in Christ, he's a new kind of creation. New kind of creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. It's not just that you're older than you used to be, so now you're newer. You're a new kind of person. Before you were dead in trespasses and sins, now you're alive in Christ. Before you were a slave of sin, now you're a slave of God. Before you were in the kingdom of darkness, God has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Before you were darkness, Ephesians 5, now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You're a whole brand new kind of thing. And you need to understand that. What God has done for you and me, if we're going to represent Him well. Good ambassadors for Christ have first themselves become new creatures in Christ. Going on, verse 18. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ." Okay, remember, you've got to become a new creature in Christ first. You've got to be reconciled yourself to Christ. "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Sometimes people will say, "Oh yeah, Dave, he's the minister at our church." Oh no, I'm not. Each one of you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a minister. God has given to you and me the ministry of reconciliation. See, God's all about reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, He's going to tell us in a couple more verses. There was a division, there was an inseparable gulf between God and man, and Jesus Christ, by becoming the God-man, bridged that gulf, made reconciliation possible. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 2 that God has reconciled both Jew and Greek together with each other in one new man and reconciled us all then to God. See, Christianity is all about reconciliation. Taking parties who were offended with each other, taking parties who were separated from each other, and bringing them together. And Jesus did that by uniting deity and humanity in one person, the God-man, and then on behalf of God, dying for the sins of man. He made reconciliation possible. And now he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? We need to tell people, you can be reconciled to God. They need to hear about this reconciliation that is available through Jesus Christ. And God has appointed us ambassadors. God has appointed us as ministers. I've thought about the fact when this church called me to be your pastor, you ordained me to the ministry. I thought, you know, maybe in order to make this more realistic and practical to you, we should ordain each one of you as a minister. You may be a minister to your job. You may be a minister to your neighborhood. You may be a minister to your family. But you and I have a ministry that has been assigned to us by God, and it's a ministry of reconciliation because we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Are you feeling like I'm trying to elevate your responsibility and your position? Because I am. I want you to realize what a high and holy calling you have. You're a minister. God has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. God has made you an ambassador of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do. You know, I'm too old. You know, I can't do anything anymore. Well, maybe God made you a minister of reconciliation to your doctors. Or I'm too young. I don't know enough. There's not any, maybe God made you a minister of reconciliation to your school. Or maybe God made you a minister of reconciliation to your family. Because every one of us has family members that don't know Christ. And if we're sitting back waiting, thinking, oh, I hope Jesus sends somebody to tell my coworker, relative, neighbor, friend, whatever, hope God sends somebody to tell him about Christ, maybe he already has. And you just haven't done it. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, okay, what do you explain to us, Paul? What does that mean? God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So there are two aspects of reconciliation that have been committed to you and me. We have the ministry of reconciliation, we have the word of reconciliation. What is that word of reconciliation? The gospel. It's the message that people need to hear so that they can become reconciled to God. God's already been reconciled to them. Jesus' death on the cross paid for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that God is now able to be patient and long-suffering towards unsaved people. Why? Because Christ has already paid for their sin. But that death will not be applied until they receive it by faith. And that won't happen until they hear about it. The gospel, Christ died for our sins, Christ rose again the third day. Go back to the Easter message, 1 Corinthians 15. That's the gospel. That's the word of reconciliation that God has committed to us. That's what we need. That's our equipment to, in order to perform the ministry of reconciliation. But no reconciliation is going to occur until they hear about it. no reconciliation is actually going to occur until they hear about it. And how do they hear about it? Verse 20. Verse 20. Therefore. Okay, don't miss these connectives. Verse 19. Namely, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. When you're talking to somebody, picture God standing in your body talking to them through you. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg. Now, our translations have the word you after that, and it sounds like Paul's begging the Corinthians. Well, that doesn't make any sense because they're already saved. And actually, the word you doesn't occur in the Greek there. I believe Paul is saying, we beg on behalf of Christ. And then the message is, be reconciled to God. That's why I have the quotation marks and underlining that way. We beg on behalf of Christ. What's our ministry? What's our message? Be reconciled to God. Why? Because He's already been reconciled to you through the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. But should this be a matter of indifference to us? Should we just say, okay, here's the gospel, take it or leave it? You know what happens if they leave it? The Bible talks about a place called the Lake of Fire. Colloquially, we refer to it as hell. And hell is unfortunately a very real place. But people who leave this world without Christ are going to spend eternity in. Does that maybe up the ante a little bit about how important it should be for us as ambassadors for Christ who have been committed the ministry of reconciliation, who have been given the word of reconciliation, who have had committed to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, to beg on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. He's already been reconciled to you. He's standing there, as it were, with open arms, waiting for you to accept it. Be reconciled to Him. Don't continue in your stubborn rebellion against Him. Look at what Jesus has done for you. We beg on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Why? Because we're ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because we've been committed the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because we've been given the word of reconciliation. Why? Because God has no other plan. God's plan for evangelizing the world is that those of us who know tell those of them who don't. That's His plan. Somebody jokingly said, "Oh, one of the angels is talking to God and asked Him, 'What's your plan?'" He described that. That's my plan. Those who know are going to tell those who don't. And the angel looked at humans and said, "Yeah, that's not a very good plan. What's your plan B?" And God said, "There is no plan B." He has one plan, and it has your name on it. Verse 21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When we realize the incredible transaction that took place when Jesus died on that cross, He was dying for your sins and mine. Every sin we would ever commit, He died. Again, I used to sing a little chorus when I was a kid. After all He's done for me, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely? After all He's done for me. Good ambassador understands the price that was paid for our salvation. Good ambassador is also careful not to give offense. Just like an ambassador for the United States going to France or Germany or China or Vietnam, if he's diligent about his job and he takes his responsibility seriously, He's going to want to study up on the culture and the custom so that he doesn't go in there and insult people. Okay? We had a missionary that our church was supporting years ago. He went to Japan. He said, when you're in Japan and somebody hands you their business card, that's a huge thing. What do we do in the United States? Somebody hands a business card. Oh, thanks. Somebody hands you a business card in Japan, you take it and you look at it carefully. And you thank them for it. You shake their hand and you put it away very carefully, only after you have looked at it very thoroughly. Because that's a matter of respect. And respect and shame are huge issues in Eastern culture. You need to understand that. 6:1. Just ignore the chapter break. Terrible chapter break. And working together with him. See, he's the one who sent us, but we're his emissaries. We're his ambassadors down here. We're working together with him. What a great opportunity that is. What a great privilege. Working together with him, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. What ministry? Ignore the chapter break. What ministry has just talked about? The ministry of reconciliation. Who's got that? You do. You and I do. So that the ministry not be discredited. So that our lives not bring shame and reproach on the gospel or the reputation of Jesus Christ. Giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. Why? Because we're ambassadors. Why? Because he's committed to us, the ministry. In everything commending ourselves as servants of God. In everything. Careful not to cause offense in anything. Or discredit our ministry. And finally, we don't give up. We keep on keeping on. Middle of verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, punished but not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Keeping on, keeping on. Does it mean it's going to be easy? Not necessarily. Because there's no guarantee that the people that God has sent us to be ambassadors to are going to receive our representation of him. There's no guarantee that the people God has given us the ministry of reconciliation for are going to receive that ministry. There's no guarantee. What do? Verse 20, we beg on behalf of Christ anyway be reconciled to God because they desperately need it. And because that's God's plan. That's God's plan. He doesn't have a plan B. You are his plan A for reaching your workplace, your neighborhood, your family. You're his plan A, and there is no plan B. Your commission? You and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I wish I could give you business cards or something that you say, you know, your name, ambassador for Jesus Christ. Maybe that'd make you feel more official. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Your mission, the ministry of reconciliation, proclaiming the word of reconciliation, begging on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It's your job description, if you will. Your field, your job, your neighborhood, your friends, your family, your associations, because you may be the only believer, the only true believer they know. You may be the only true believer they know. So you may be the one that God wants to use to reach them. Father, thinking about this, I tend to react like Moses. Me? You want to send me? Why don't you send somebody else? And I hear you saying to me, like you said to Moses, I am with you. You didn't argue with Moses. You didn't try to reason with him. You just told him that you're with him, just like you're with him. Father, you have made us your ambassadors. You have given us the ministry of reconciliation, committed to us the word of reconciliation. May we represent you and our Lord Jesus Christ well. Because this world is so messed up, they don't understand him or you. Help us to represent you well, that they might get it straightened out, that they might come to know Christ, who to know is life everlasting. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. I commission you as you leave here, go to your field as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. May God's grace be with you.